blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I am most deeply vowed to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I to confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here
to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so that we can drop that and end suffering.
What should we look at this morning?
As we were sitting, I was watching one of the ways that conditioning drains energy. So I had a lot of energy this morning, a lot of energy as we started sitting. And I would watch as that energy generated what seemed like good ideas. They would pop up. And rather than just going kind of great and, you know, going back, all of a sudden the person would arise who wanted to figure out how to do that good idea. Well, you'd have to do this, and you'd have, you know, and it was already into, you know, citing projects and and I just realized, I just watched, you know. It just sucked in a way, you know, and then I'd come back and get back present, and there would be this other little spark, and someone would go off with that little spark to figure out how that would work.
That there was something you had to do about the good idea instead of simply appreciate.
Wow, what a great idea. That was a great idea. Now let's just come back and see what else is here.
Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it? To watch as the movement to be somebody who has to do something pulls the energy away and sort of unprojected, you lose the inspiration that was there with the original.
Yeah, you lose the inspiration and literally just lose the energy. I mean, I was aware of how much less of me was available. You know,
just much.
It does. I mean, and I recognize how that process happens over and over. You know, even as simple as something like I'll have the thought float through, sort of like, what's for dinner? Or, you know, and then rather than just, well, that will be something to pay attention to when the time comes, it's like, you know, what's in the refrigerator?
Noodle.
Right, you know, figure it all out. Okay, let's create a plan. When it's totally unnecessary, not only unnecessary, but it's totally meant to take me away from where I was.
It's truly a waste of energy, isn't it?
Yeah,
how great to see that, to just be sitting and have that whole thing play out so you can see and then recognize that it's something that happens. Even, you know, what's for dinner? What should we have for dinner?
I think there was a lot of that going on. I had the same
experience. It's in the air.
I think so. I was about to say it was my fault. I found myself waking up really early today too, and sitting doing yoga, really challenging, thinking about doing strenuous yoga on a day like today, but it was good. I'd gotten a little strategy going where it's like a good, nice walk around the property, gets the heat going, you know, with a whole lot of layers, and all of a sudden I'm in a really warm room.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just little tricks that...
Save wood, too.
Yeah, exactly, easier to warm them up. That's true, I could have started a fire. One of those things. It would be the equivalent of clearing off my desk before I could actually... Yeah, so I would start cleaning out the chimney pipes, and yoga would be sometime tomorrow, I think.
Right.
But anyway, yes, so appreciating sitting and having lots of energy. And it was funny, because I had the same kind of stuff happen, like little things would just pop up, like, oh, there's this that I want to do, and then there's this that would be really interesting to follow up on. Because it's like, it's funny, because the perspective can sometimes be, there's nothing, like, mm-hmm. there isn't an idea out there anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And barren land.
Barren land of, like, you know, this withered thing, and, well, that's not an idea. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, they're everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, and they've been there all the time. You know what I mean? It's just that they got started and left. And all of a sudden this morning was... they were all like, hello, hi, we're all here.
Waiting for you.
Waiting for me, waving and saying, me first. Uh-huh. And it's like, me all at the same time.
Yeah, so would it be fair to say kind of scattering your attention in that way? Or well, trying to?
They're like little kids. They're like, mm-hmm. they all want to be the next one or to follow, you know, to choose them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like it's funny, because it's like with those kinds of things, it feels like it's not that anyone is better than the other. It feels like because I'm watching this, it's like it's almost like they crop up on their like whoever is next, it's going to be obvious.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like one is better than the other, or there's no time for the other one.
Yeah, it's just that life is presenting this one as the next thing.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. It just recently happened. It was like, oh, I've always wanted to do this. And it was like, hey, now is it.
Uh-huh.
Now is it. And it was like, it was perfect. It was almost like, you know, square peg, square hole. And it was like, ka-ching. You know, it was like, that was the one. And it wasn't like there was needing to be anything to have
you didn't have to figure anything out.
No, I didn't have to figure anything out. I didn't have to, like, plot, plan, see how to squeeze the thing into the wrong shaped hole. And so it's...
Nobody had to arise who had to make something happen.
Yeah, nobody had to arise to make something happen. So anyway, I'm watching this happen during the sit, and it's true. It's very tempting to want to follow all of it through to, like, doing something, and I think that it is the easiest way that I think I can get distracted.
Is by there's the idea, and then by following
through,
going off with it,
keep going with it, and and mm-hmm. and in the meantime, it's almost like the same way the idea actually goes and gets followed through. I don't need to follow through. I don't need to say this without making it into kind of like a formula or something like that. But it's almost like there's a faith that when the time comes, it will be back.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm thinking about it constantly, like especially with the last one that came through that something actually happened with.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like there was a situation, and it was like, it just said, this is the one. It is now. Now mm-hmm. is the time. And it mm-hmm. presented itself without having to like search for it.
Yeah. And, sounds very easy.
It is. It's like one can feel very taken care of in that mm-hmm. kind of what it feels like is keeping the eyes open all the time.
Mm.
And trusting
so you
that
can
the
see
same,
what's
yeah, yeah. Trusting that whatever will need to be there will be there.
Yeah.
And
So, and it sounds like what I'm projecting you're saying is being in a receptive mode, mm-hmm. alertly.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Receptive and just, yeah. I would say that would probably be pretty accurate. And that's what allows just going back to meditation.
Yeah, because if you're actually following the train of thought, mm-hmm. you're not receptive. Mm-hmm. It sort of cancels out receptivity.
Along the train.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know what else to say about that other than it's one of the places where it feels very, very tempting to continue to go along with it.
Yeah.
Because it feels like positive things, you know, especially mm-hmm. when positive things happen, and it's like, this is a good thing to spend my time on, says the voice that, you know, comes in. It's like,
right.
This is something that I can get something out of, and it's, and mm-hmm. every time that happens, it's almost like actually the way that you described it is like the train of thought. I get on that, and I leave something feels like much larger than that. And that will come back because I'm actually here. And it will come back at a time when it's actually useful.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, which is the faith part.
Faith part, yeah.
It'll be here when I need it.
It'll be here when I need it. They're the keys that I need to remember to bring with me as I'm going to the car, you know?
Yeah, yes.
Rather than keys, I'm gonna walk out the door, keys. And it's like all the time I'm going, keys. It's like, I'm driving, you know, I'm not driving away, but I can't be driving away, but I get there. I don't have them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's just very
interesting. Yeah, it's a really interesting place to be looking because it just seems so much it's about being an awareness rather than being someone who needs to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, the someone who needs to do something pulls us out of the mm-hmm. possibility of it being done.
Yeah, because in the being with whatever it is, there's the ability to actually do something when the time comes for it.
When the time comes, yeah. Amy.
And a follow-up on something that I talked about recently in guidance about this process that goes on with difficulty asking for things that I need.
Okay. And difficulty asking for things that you need.
For things that I need or for things that I want or for mm-hmm. anything like that. And it was suggested I just pick one innocuous thing and
out of whatever collection of things you had that.
And so I wrote a note asking for a new, if someone could buy me a new umbrella.
Mm-hmm. And which is it pouring out, finding something you need? Yeah.
And I was just seeing how someone felt like they needed to, like, present a case, like, explain what was wrong with my umbrella, why it doesn't function properly. And I just instead just wrote, could someone please buy me a new umbrella, mine is broken. Mine is broken. I didn't go into uh-huh. what was going on that felt like I need to justify why it was no longer a good umbrella.
Yeah, you had to do a three-page treatise. Yeah.
And I wrote the note, it came to a meeting and suggested I email someone to ask that it be put on the errands list. And it was just so easy.
Yeah.
I just was just appreciating breaking through whatever that is that comes in to prevent me from getting an umbrella.
And it sounds like you're seeing a lot of the process that goes on that sort of keeps you in not being able to get what you need or want mm-hmm. in terms of, okay, so there's some belief that I have to write a really good, clear, whatever the language is for you, explanation of why I need an umbrella. Just that it's raining isn't enough. it said raining and I don't, mine is broken.
Mm-hmm.
But you wound up somehow just saying, will somebody get me an umbrella? Mine's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a breakthrough.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really quite sure what to say about it, mm-hmm. but just that I'm just seeing how things, and this is true in so many areas, that things get built up to be something
yeah.
so difficult that...
they get really complicated, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. And sometimes I can even see that it's just being complicated and it's really not that difficult or
mm-hmm.
that complicated, but it still, to someone, feels like an obstacle, even if it, to one perspective, it's not.
Yes.
It's like the, there's still something that just gets in the way to turn it into something that it's.
Yeah. Yeah, and that something that gets in the way is going to be really important to see, isn't it? In terms of being able to just be free in saying, I need or I want whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that what you did is so neat because it's, for me, it's the kind of thing that begins to build the faith that helps me break through the next thing that's waiting and that process wants to happen as well. You know, maybe there's an easier way to do this. Maybe this is being complicated by whatever that
mm-hmm.
complicator is. Yeah. Okay.
Marie. I love how great works that whatever the topic is, there's always something to share about it because I had something about the first topic, but now I have something about the second topic. Because that's something I've been looking at a lot because I have so much stuff around that and about needing things or needing anything special. And because of a situation with my body, I had to ask for a few special things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a really huge place of suffering because I had to write about it before I came. And I've just been noticing so much about that.
Uh-huh. That there's a whole process around needing something that's out of the ordinary, it sounds like, something that's special.
Yeah, because there's this real strong identity of, I don't need anything special.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up, you know, it comes up really quickly, I notice, because something was offered through a note, and just yesterday or today, and my first thought was to write a note back and say, no, I don't need that.
Uh-huh. So something's offered. It wasn't even something that you requested. Something's offered and the first take is, no, I don't need that.
Yeah, the first thought was just say thank you, but I don't really need that. And then there were, you know, I was watching, it was just all these reasons why I didn't need it. It
mm-hmm.
wouldn't be right to use it. It wouldn't, you know, just... And so I thought, well, then I'll just take it. rather than do that process, I'll just take the thing. And it was really interesting because it actually, the content of it, but it actually worked out. This morning I was thinking it was perfect that I took it. I ended up not needing it, but it was perfect that I took it.
Because it turned out it was something that was useful?
Yeah, some part of it was useful. That I wouldn't have had the possibility of that if I had just written the note and said, no, I don't need anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because in a way, life comes along and says, here's this thing for you. But there's somebody who says no, or wants to say no.
Yeah, there's like an identity that wants to say no. And then I think there were some other thoughts about it that came more from center, about why I didn't really need to do that. And then I said, okay, I'll take the step and just see what happens. I'll take it and see. And then another possibility, because of some of the things I took, another possibility was there.
Uh-huh.
That was fine, all the way around fine. And it was just so interesting because I thought if I had just written a note and said, no, I don't need that, this possibility wouldn't have been here.
Uh-huh, it was something that was linked to the original one. Uh-huh, uh-huh. That is really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I just thought, it just seems like life works perfectly.
Oh, yes.
This morning.
That is kind of the overall subject, isn't it? Yeah.
But,
without our help.
yeah. But because of a kind of a diet thing, which I've never wanted to ask for anything special around diet, and now I have this, in order to do the things I'm supposed to do, it takes like 4 different drink containers. And there is so much about that. It's like, oh my gosh.
And what is it about that? Do you know? So it's something in your diet takes 4 different drink containers. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it gets projected outward like everybody here, but I can see it so inside of me that everybody here probably thinks this is, you gotta have 4 special cups. I'm afraid it's my mother's voice, but it's like, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, that's what goes on inside as you double reverse project.
Right,
what people must be thinking is, oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, and there was a piece of it about taking breaks, which is really, that's almost like, for this person's conditioning, that is just not allowed.
Taking breaks is not okay.
Yeah, and so it's easy to project it onto other people, like, they're going to go crazy if I say I need to take a little break. But yesterday I was working by myself, and I was far, far away, and it was time for me to, I made a commitment to what I was going to do about the break thing, and it was just like, oh gosh, I don't want to take a break.
I don't want to take a break?
Uh-huh. It's like, and then I look at my timer and go, I hope it's not break time. It's just so interesting to watch that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And what is being held against breaks? What's not okay about taking a break?
Well, I think what happens, is it gets kind of projected on that other people will think I'm being slack or something. But I could see when I was by myself, I think it's more about kind of being, have a momentum going, and then it kind of goes into a process, it's more process than momentum, and then it's like, it doesn't want to be interrupted, because I'll be present, I think. Because when I take the break, it's all about breathing and presence.
Yes, and so this, whatever it is that you noticed when you were out there all by yourself, it wasn't about what other people would think, it was something about the process of not wanting to stop.
Yeah, if something's rolling and doesn't want to stop, it's in the always process.
It's got a momentum, and did you take a break?
Yes, I did. Because what occurred to me about it yesterday is that means, when I have that thought, that means I need to take a break even more. Uh-huh. That really means I need to breathe and come back to present.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing that when there's something there that doesn't want to be interrupted.
Right.
Even to do something you've actually committed to do, that's a flag. Well, I'm really going to do it.
Yeah, that's a flag that I need to do it even more.
Yeah.
For another, an additional reason than the original commitment reason.
Yes.
Just to come back and be present.
Yeah, because you realize that being on a roll is being, very possibly being identified or being caught up or being not present.
Yeah, because it seemed like, and I noticed it a couple other times with projects I was working on when I was by myself, that it felt like taking 5 minutes to breathe would so interrupt getting it accomplished, what I needed to accomplish in the amount of time.
Yeah.
And I'd look at that and I'd go, I don't think the 5 minutes really will make that much difference.
So it's all around, it sounds like a lot of what you're looking at right now is around giving to Marie.
Yeah. There's a lot of looking at that.
And all the things that come up that try to get in the way of that. Make it bad.
And I noticed there's a lot of what was being shared about the umbrella. There's a lot, like when I have to make a choice about getting something for somebody else or doing something for somebody else, it's really fairly quick and easy. But when it's about getting something for me, it gets so complicated.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
it has to be run through a whole bunch of filters and all. And then by the time I do that, I'm just like, forget it. Or I'll just get it for somebody else. Because I notice I do that sometimes. It's like I'll have something I want, and I'll buy it for Rick.
Anybody else do that at Christmas?
Because if I do it for him, I don't have to run it through all these filters. And I just started watching that. So anyway.
Well, that's really neat because it seems like in that is the potential for you being the somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm really working with that. And then life has kind of offered me a circumstance where I really have to work with that.
Yeah, yeah. And then comes along and offers you something you want to say, no, 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 I don't need that. And you get to say, well, okay.
Thank you.
Penny. And Michael and Jim.
Part of what I was hearing in the first two things that were shared, the getting... sitting and then having all those ideas kind of dwell, and then the not being able to ask for what you want. What I was hearing it for me is, it's actually the same process in a way. It's the complicating process. You know, it's the this has to be noodled process. That's what's true for me. And
it's in a way, is it kind of I have to get involved with this, not necessarily using that language, but believing that.
Yeah, that there's a habit, conditioned habit of all kinds of rationales, arguments, explanations, and in some cases they feel oppressive, and sometimes they feel fun. You know, as you know, as described, an idea comes up. Ooh, that'd be fun. You know, and so I'm off. It was going on for me during the sit, and I'm off figuring out how this would happen, and that feels enjoyable. You know, it feels like fun.
Yes.
And then if I get into why I can't ask for something that doesn't feel like fun, but I think it's the same process of conditioning coming in and having to make something about this. We have to address this at length.
Yes.
You know, rather than just, oh, that's an interesting idea. Boom. Oh, yeah. I think I'll just write a note and ask for that. This, you know, it takes away all the simplicity.
Yeah, and it takes us out of the moment, it seems like, pretty consistently.
Yeah, it does.
The idea drops in the moment, and then away we go.
Yeah.
Or away conditioning takes us.
Yep. Yeah, into its world, which is so complicated. And I had a chance of noticing that this morning. I started reading Sherry's book, and the first part is about the light room and the dark room, and then there's this exercise you can do, you know, where you write a sheet of paper, light room, dark room, and write about what each one is like. And I had read to that point the other night and thought, well, I'm going to do that exercise, you know, soon. and so then the next night I thought, I could do that exercise, but not right now. And anyway, so then I thought, well, it'd be a fun thing to do on Sunday morning. So I got up this morning and found myself doing something else. and I caught that I was doing the something else. And then I just watched how conditioning wanted to go two ways. One is, there's no time for this now.
Yeah. You can do it later.
You can do it later. Or, and the way to do it later is, do the book as a 30-day retreat. So set up like a 30-day program for doing the book.
We're back to clearing the desk.
Oh my God! It's like all or nothing. Yeah. And I just stopped what I was doing. I took down my little notebook. I put a line in the little paper. I wrote about the right room and the dark room for 3 minutes. It occurred to me I can come back to this. You know, like this isn't the only time I can write about this, which is sort of the other message. You know?
Yes.
You have to write the thesis right here. So I closed the notebook. I put it back, and I went back to what I was doing. And I just got in that moment, just doing that then.
Yes.
Rather than noodling all the suffering that's possible.
Yeah, and that noodling being the energy drink. There's this thing I'm going to do, not now, but there's this thing I'm going to do, and all that energy going into this thing I'm going to do someday.
Yeah. You know, the image just came to me. That's so interesting when you said that, the energy drink, because it's pulling me and doing it this way and then not doing it at all. And, the image that just came to me was once when I was climbing a mountain and I was on a rope team, And the person behind me was dragging, and the person in front of me was pulling. And the awful feeling of that, you know, just really being trapped between the drag and the pull, and it's just that's what it's like.
Yeah, yeah. And it's immobilizing.
It's immobilizing, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what it would have done is kept me doing what I was doing. This is what I think what conditioning was going for, was keep doing what you're doing and suffer over the fact that you're not doing this other thing you should be
doing. Yes.
So even and then turning that into a should, you know, as part of the suffering too.
Yeah, and then later on it can beat you up for not having
not doing it
and all that.
That's right. So it gave me a chance to experience the light room and the dark room right there. And then the other thing that just came up for me is that whole thing about asking for what you want and need, you know, oh boy, that's been such a theme in my life. And I had this really helpful thing said to me once. I have had in my life this whole thing about I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I don't need things. I don't want to be special.
Yeah. Oh. And it's interesting that the gesture is one.
That's right. So you know, underneath it, there's this huge desire to be special. Uh-huh. But, you know, then there's the whole story about how you can't be special and you can't ask for things and you can't because, you know, you don't want to be weak and helpless and all this kind of stuff. So, well, so what was pointed out to me once was, in never asking for help, I am helpless. Mm-hmm. And boy, did that turn it around for me.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, that's what it is to be helpless. Uh-huh. And it just opened a big door.
Yes.
That actually, in asking for what I need, I am not helpless.
Yeah. It's empowering.
It's empowering. It's one of those conditioned things where conditioning tells you the opposite of what's real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Neat. Michael.
I was thinking about the strand of if I take a couple minutes to do this, then there won't be enough time to do what I need to do,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Specifically in the work period, and how I'm having experiences of the opposite being true, because of circumstances, which are that I have been physically slowed down. I've had to physically slow myself because of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that there has been enough time to do everything that needs to be done, even though I'm going, it would seem, much slower through space in everything I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
isn't that interesting?
I'm having a
to
really
seen?
Rough time wrapping my mind around that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then the other one is how, because, you know, I just believe, you know, I really, really believe that I need to move really fast, otherwise it's not going to get done.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
and
when
so
I'm doing that, I really believe I need to be doing that.
Yeah, you're being told, probably, I would guess.
Yeah.
There's something moving you faster and faster, and then you have an experience where you can't move faster.
Yeah.
And in fact, you're discovering that everything that needs to get done is getting done.
Yeah.
Even though you're not moving as fast as we can guess the voices would be pushing you to move.
Yeah. Can you repeat that last part? I actually went somewhere else.
What you're describing is your experience of getting told you've got to go, you've got to go faster. You don't have enough time to do this thing that will just take a few minutes.
Yeah.
And what you're discovering as you move more slowly is, by golly, it's all getting done.
Yeah.
How could that be?
Yeah. And the other other thing, this isn't where I was going to go. I just thought of this, though, is having experiences of basically disidentifying from rushing and finding that, in the last moment I was rushing and now I'm not because I just mm-hmm. disidentified from that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can tell, I'm not moving any slower now that I'm not rushing.
Yes.
Yes.
So So the conclusion is rushing doesn't speed me up.
Yes, rushing doesn't speed you up. Urgency is
urgency never... doesn't speed me up, yeah. Which is just incredible to see. So the
Well, then it's interesting that what would slow you down is an injury, given that I would project that your body is what's being pushed around when you're being rushed.
Yeah. Well, that's one another thing that, I'm seeing how, so rushing, this is the what it seems like maybe so is actually something that causes me to be moving in two directions at once, which logically we can see is counterproductive.
I had the image that we just had of the mountain climbing.
That's actually what's happening with my body when I'm rushing, which is harmful to my body. And so when I stop that, which is what I'm calling slowing down, that's not happening. And
that seems really huge to be really, seeing.
It's really
and
great
practicing.
For my body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so practicing, that's the place, you know, now that I have this little glimpse. The other part was the thing that I was doing also is stopping and writing down what the voices are saying every time I forget the napkins. Like, you know, like I make a mistake.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's the thing that I don't have time to do.
Oh.
And I was making it a priority, and I was just it was really interesting. There was this place of I'm just gonna do this. This is what I'm gonna do above getting a meal on the table, above whatever else it seems to needs to be done. And so I was doing it. And for like a week, and now I haven't been doing it. I don't know. And what seems like wants to happen is it gets made into a formula. If I do the formula, it'll work, and then I don't do it. But
And then you get beat up for not doing it because it's not working because you're not doing it.
Yeah, and yet it was helpful when I was doing it. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and isn't that what we all practice with? It's, boy, I'm so good, and then I forgot. How did that, sort of that, coming back to remember the things that really do support us. Mm-hmm. And watch how they get taken away. Watch how they fade into the remote past.
Not so remote right now. So there's got to be a strand of that motivation in there.
I just feel moved to express a lot of gratitude this morning for kind of the place we are in practice with this next step, and to report that it's paying off for me. And it something earlier in the discussion sparked it around the sort of positive, fun things to go and think about. And how I realized, I'm not even sure why, and I've really been consciously practicing not needing to figure out why and do anything about it, but I've gone through a period of time recently that's been quite challenging. And one of the things that I feel grateful that came with that challenge is, okay, all right, this is,
here we are.
A sense of, this is not new, this thing that's coming up. It's a very, very strong manifestation of it. And now's good.
Now's good. Just as sort of accepting, not just sort of accepting. This is what is here right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, truthfully, really all over, you know, 1 minute, now's good, another minute, this is way too hard, now's good, this is way too hard, you know, and now's good, okay, let's, okay, bring it on again, no, no, maybe not, just kidding, kind of all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But certainly within a sense of this too shall pass, this is what I want in the sense of I want to be able to practice with everything that comes my way.
Yeah.
I want freedom more than I want to feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like all those things were underlying it.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason it was triggered by that, you know, this feels fun and good to think about, is that one of the things that I saw in it is that there's one of the ways, you know, this person manages is to really, okay, what's going to be fun? What's going to be exciting? What's going to be good? And it's an interesting sort of a place because we talk about focusing on the things, the experiences that we want to have, but it's a subtle difference from that. It's more of focusing on the content of the way I want to, that will make me feel the way I want to feel.
Yeah, sort of managing the externals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think when this painful sort of thing comes up, I generally, historically, at a certain point, I bail and I look for a content that will help me feel a different way. What I was doing this time is really letting life call the shots in the sense of, okay, so the other side of the duality would be like, okay, nothing good, so that I can stay and really see through this piece of karma, which is still me.
No relief.
Right. It's still me in charge of it.
Yes. Yes.
And it feels like what there was is, I want to see through this. I want to be with this, whatever. And that letting life kind of decide.
Yeah, like, if something really nice comes along, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, yeah. And getting to see a lot of really nice things came along. A lot of really, really nice things came along that just felt like, wow, that was so kind.
Yeah.
It was so, so kind. And interestingly, they didn't take care of it. I'm using quote marks in the air.
Right.
And that was helpful too. Because it wasn't, oh good, that content, that saved me. Now I don't feel this way anymore.
Yes.
And so the reason I started off by saying I feel grateful for what we're doing is that it feels like the thing we're being offered, and of course this has always been true in practice, but at least for me, the new book, the new practice of the recording that we're doing, is really, really bringing it to a deeper level of being in relationship with myself.
Yes.
And that is the thing. And with that, and that is the thing I feel like. So I was aware this morning of waking up feeling a sense of, I could say, looking forward to the day, feeling glad to be alive, feeling excited, and that it was simply because I have this person. It wasn't because X, Y, and Z is going to happen, and that went well.
Something to look forward
and
to.
And this thing that's happening is on track, and there aren't bad things happening. It wasn't that.
Yeah, yeah. Not at all an assessment of the content, but simply being with and appreciating, enjoying, it sounds like, being with yourself as the day began.
And then the thing that's paired with that, which is so great, is the thing that we're often encouraged to look at is, where am I getting my information? Because I watch this process of, there's a sense of, say, well-being, and then it's like these little conditioning soldiers are sent out to go decide whether that's a safe, okay, appropriate way to feel. And shockingly, they always come back with bad news why. Really, and in fact, even when I was just talking to you a minute ago, and I was saying how there was that sense of well-being and, you know, looking forward to the day, and I said, it's not based on any, you know, anything that's going really well or anything like that, and then I said, or on anything that's not going well, and one of the soldiers left and went to look to decide if, is there anything really? And I can immediately feel it, even before the answer comes back, I know the answer is going to be, well, actually, there is something. And it's right here in the solar plexus area where I just get,
Yeah.
And that is the thing that that's that motivation of like, good, because I so want for this person to see through that, to see through the lie of that, that it just constantly happens and it's designed to have that reaction. I'm supposed to not notice that happening,
right?
And then believe that and then begin to act out of triage and, you know, get and boom.
And be back in the pit completely. Yeah.
And then no wonder it all has to be based on managing the content so that the soldiers can't find anything wrong.
Yes.
Everything's going so well and so on track and so that it,
So really the relationship with self and waking up into that and then being able to watch how conditioning self-aid is trying to make something out there more important.
And the last piece of it I'm really enjoying is acknowledgement, that remembering always to acknowledge, I can't remember, it's just recently I was doing something and I caught how the, you know, some, like that, you know, soldier had gone out to find something and the story wanted to start and I caught it and I consciously, I don't know how to say it, but like felt good, you know, like, reassurance, you know, doing well, and to acknowledge, way to go, because that is breaking a neural pathway. That's breaking something that's in there that's creating suffering for this person. Every time that happens, that's another assistance to having this person live in the place that I wish for her.
Rewiring from suffering to joy. By being conscious, by being aware, by practicing.
So a lot of gratitude for the new practices because I just feel like they're really, they're not leaving any room for.
June, did I see your hands up?
No.
Vicki.
Yeah, what was just being talked about, you know, there's two particular things so far from Sherry's new book that for me are worth the price of the whole book.
The great exorbitant.
That's right. And actually, we got free from taking the email. But anyway, that are really
worth the price.
They're really good. Anyway, and they're pointed to in what was just said. And one is that I've just really been enjoying the guided imagery about, you know, what's the kind of life you want to have. Just continually going back to that and knowing how to create in my body that experience that I want to have.
Yes.
And of course, it happens to be really easy now because having just been in England where I was having that kind of experience, I know exactly what it feels like. So I really have been, successful isn't the right word, but I know that experience now, you know, and I have really been, quote, successful in coming into hard places that feel like those places where I am going to get stuck.
Go over the edge.
And and just letting, in a way, letting that person be where she is, but knowing that's not me. And going back to that experience that I know this being can have.
Yeah, going back to an experience that's been recent enough so it's fairly easy to get there, it sounds like.
Yeah. You know, and just that example I gave the other night of being in the kitchen with the smoothies and having them sort of erupted all over everywhere and
being unsmooth.
Right, and being well aware of both me's there. The one who is like, oh my God, this is out of control. I'm not doing it right, it's a horrible mess and it's uptight and the other one who just thinks it's the funniest thing that ever happened because she's so uptight. I mean, there's just there was the person there who was just enjoying all of the process and the other one who wasn't. And in a way it was okay.
I mean,
she sort of receded into the distance, the one who
thought something was wrong.
Right.
Because there was one there who knew nothing was wrong.
Right. But it wouldn't have worked to have tried to get rid of her, you know? It only worked to be someone else.
What I would project is to try to get rid of her is to become someone who has an agenda, who sort of joins her in identification.
And along those same lines, the other, there's that list of kind of questions you can answer to help find things to put on your recording. And it's It's a question about, so what, you know, something along the lines of what's the hole that conditioning always lures you into, and I forget the rest of it, but, and how do you want, you know, basically, what do you want to remember when that happens?
Uh-huh, yes.
And just, just to have taken the time to actually write out what that hole looks like, you know, where I feel it in my body, what the voices say, and then to look at, and how, you know, what do I want to remember when I recognize that stuff going on?
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, it's on my recorder now, but I don't, you know, and it's helpful to listen to it, but I don't even have to hear it every day because I have that experience of taking the time to actually, you know, this is the way, this is how it happens. This is what it says. This is how it feels, and it's not real. And this is what I can remember in those moments. It's
kind of laying out the whole play.
Yeah.
So we've got the script.
Yeah.
And when we hear ourselves being in the script, we bring along the next act that we want to have there, which is remembering, oh yeah, this is a play. This is not real.
Yeah. This is how I don't, you know, I'm feeling this way, but the option is available to feel this way.
Yes. And the option is available is so hard to remember when we're in it, but with this being a practice that will be make it a lot easier to remember.
Yeah. I'm just really, it's just, you know, it's like, you know, it's not anything we haven't had pointed to the whole time, but just, I don't know, somehow some little switch happened that has allowed me lately to, when I get in those really hard, believable places of, you know, essentially that I can't stand this place.
Yeah.
You know, and it used to be when I got there was, you know, either just to bemoan it or to figure out how to get out of it or distract myself from it. But just in that moment, just to remember, this is not me, this is not who I am.
Yeah.
And to remember what it is like to be this being and what is available, and to step back and to become this bigger thing that embraces all of that, is just, I mean, it's, well, transforms my life.
It's worth the rest of the book.
Transforms your life. So go ahead.
Well, I have homework to share what I'm doing instead of believing the voices.
And to share what you're doing instead of believing the voices. Uh-huh.
And one thing I just noticed is that the voices were telling me through the whole group, even though what everybody shared was like right on topic for me, just telling me, you know, that I haven't done my homework well enough to share to, you know. In other words, I don't have it all laid out, but, you know.
Yeah, and you should have if you're going to say anything.
Exactly.
Got it.
Right. And then, as it looked like the group was nearing to the end, then they started coming up with all kinds of things that I could share, you know. So just saw that going on about how they were kind of setting me up there. Again, I just want to say one of the things that one of the practices I've been doing to, instead of believing the voices, is using these quote cards.
The quote cards that come in an elegant little box that is 365 days or something. I don't know if it's that many, but it's lots and lots.
Lots of
go into a little. I'm doing this for folks who aren't here and may not be able to see what we're talking about. They go into a beautiful little plastic holder that with beads that we can hang around our neck so the quotation is
right there.
Right there whenever we remember to look at it.
That you can buy on Sangha.
That's right. That's right.
You can buy on Sangha Market. Come on.
They're wonderful. And what I've done is, of course, put the other transform your life quote on the other side. And then I've, you know, set my trusty little timer to go off every 15 minutes and then stop.
One that you wear.
One that I wear, and then I stop and read the quote. mm-hmm. and to transform your life.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This is something that someone's always wanted to do. Never had the nice little holder until now.
Yeah, so you know? Something about having the holder has given you more motivation or to be able to do something you've always wanted to do.
And somebody also loves just the magic of reaching into that little box in the morning, picking out a quote, and seeing how it just is the perfect quote for the day.
Yes.
And it's just been a great practice for me, mm-hmm. and watching how you do everything is how you do anything. You know, how when the timer goes off, if I am doing something that, quote, looks like it's going to inconvenience somebody else,
uh-huh.
to stop and ring, you know, how there's that resistance.
So there's somebody inside who scans for, is this going to be a problem for anybody else?
That I'm going to stop right now.
Uh-huh.
And how difficult that is to, you know, if it seems that it's going to impact. You know, what I project is another person's need, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
how difficult it is to take care of myself in that way.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there would be that quick a movement to checking out, is this going to, you know, checking out the externals.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I just felt a lot of emotion come up behind that and just realized, you know, it's been just a big driver for me. In my life,
checking out,
you know, is never the first. It's never to check out what this person needs.
Yes,
it's always that other, you know, outward. What is needed here, and you know, needing to put what this person needs on the back burner till that external need is
the external
projected need is satisfying, of course, it never is.
Yeah, makes for a really huge practice opportunity, doesn't it?
Really
to say, okay,
huge.
The timer went off.
Yeah.
Me first.
And doesn't matter, you know. Well, it is a really big practice opportunity.
Yeah.
And it just feels like if I do nothing else right now than practice that, it would be a huge breakthrough for me.
What you will see will be.
What I would see and just stopping to take care of this being. At that moment, no matter what, it's kind of, you know, someone was mentioning recently. It's about the tweets; they're designed to be inconvenient. inconvenient for conditioned mind.
Yeah. And the image I was just having was something along the lines of the little kid who's really waiting for mom's attention,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just a few more minutes, honey.
Yeah, exactly.
And to turn toward her,
yeah.
to actually give her the attention that she's asking for, that probably takes something less than 60 seconds.
Yeah, you know, what comes up for me, just in you saying that, is, it's a similar thing that happens in the self-facilitation, or the two-chair exercise. Every time I do that, that same person that's waiting for me to stop and read this, every time I sit down to do a facilitation, she's like over the moon happy that I sat down with her in that chair.
Yeah.
She's been waiting for me to do that. And she just is like overflowing with gratitude that I stopped to do that for her.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, thank you so much. You know, thought you were going to forget me again.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Big trust builder.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes, Penny.
Oh man, the pressure's on. I just was struck by a couple things. One was, what was just said about this might be an inconvenient time for somebody else, and what came up for me was conditioning never worries that it's an inconvenient time. You know? I mean, it's inconvenient when I'm facilitating for conditioning to start rattling my cage, for example, but it never cares, so it just occurred to me. But the thing that I heard in what was said earlier that I just want to say, because I heard it, and was the difference between when something comes up that doesn't feel good. Conditioning's way of distracting us from it, as opposed to moving to feeling how we want to feel without abandoning that one.
Mm. Yeah.
That one who feels bad, and what a difference that is.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that because I just saw it so clearly.
Yeah, acknowledging and accepting what's actually here rather than trying to get away from it.
And, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and conditioning would say that's going to what feels good. But it's a whole different movement. Mm-hmm. It's a movement away, and it really feels like just having the experience you want to have includes everybody.
Yeah.
And it just, anyway, I wanted to say that.
Nobody left out.
Nobody left out. Thank you.
Thank you.